Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
During the riots, where I was assigned to the Emergency Operations Center as the overnight commander for about 10 days, when we had 70 plus buildings burned to the ground, 300 plus police cars destroyed, 28 murders in 48 hours. It was a very dark time in policing, dark time in Chicago. And so why would I ever want to leave?
And that was part of the he's joking there. Why would I ever want to leave when I had to go through all of that in Chicago? That's Eric Winstrom, one of the three candidates for the Pensacola Police Chief. The decision about this is going to be made next week by D.C. I'm going to be on vacation, so I tried to get in as much of this as I could, and I watched all 3 hours of the interview with the panel. Of course, they also did interviews with the public and interviews with the faith leaders and business leaders and all this. And I'll tell you about my conclusions in a second, but I will say this. We have three very capable candidates, okay? Eric Winstrom, like his brother got arrested for drugs, and he kind of was against cops, got a law degree, wanted to put bad cops away, wound up eventually, working with the police in New York, then working for the police as a cop in New York, working in the projects there. I mean, just, it wasn't exactly the career path he had been expecting in his life.
Thinking that I would go and be welcomed for the attorney from New York and get a nice cushy job. And of course, that wasn't the case. I went to work midnights in the Robert Taylor homes on the south side of Chicago, and really opened my eyes to a world I was not familiar with, a world where abject poverty lived in America, and opened my eyes more about the role of policing, where at the time in Chicago, metrics for success were how many arrests that you made, how many tickets did you write, how many cars did you tow, et cetera. And so still with the mindset of going to change the world, I wanted to become the head of policy or something like that. Well, my career took me to the detective division. I became a child abuse detective.
And then he worked on civil rights litigation, the consent decree for the police department. With his lawyer background, he could not only talk about what the consent decree, which is when the Justice Department says, you guys are really screwed up, you got to fix things. He knew what was practical, and his job was in that negotiation to only let happen what was going to be able to be done. And so then he moved to Grand Rapids. He built the police force back from in the 200s to the 400 or 300 or so cops that they had. It's about twice our size as a city. And now he wants to come here to Pensacola. One of the more, they ask him a bunch of questions, the same questions they asked all three candidates. One of the questions was, talk about a difficult time and something like that. I forget the exact question, but it was, talk about a real challenging time. And this was his answer to that question.
Less than a month into my tenure there, we had a very high-profile officer-involved shooting of a young Congolese refugee named Patrick Leoya. Made national news. A police officer ended up being charged with murder, actually, and it was definitely a low point, I would say, for the police department, probably all-time low point for the Grand Rapids Police Department as far as morale. So I knew that I had to be the hardest-working police chief. I knew I had to be the first one there, the last one out the door. I had to do everything I could to support officer wellness, and I had to I had to do the hard things. When you say lead by example, sometimes it's tough to think of examples of that, but I can think of some. Early on, we were in a room such as this. We had a city council meeting that was shut down by probably 100 or so protesters. And I, even though I hadn't yet been sworn as a law enforcement officer in the state of Michigan, so I was wearing a suit, but I stood in front of the protesters on camera. It was live streamed for 2.5 hours with the police officers behind me. I stood there and I said, I will stand here for as long as you want your voices to be heard. I will listen to you. And it was 2.5 hours of not the nicest things of me, but that was the first step that the 20 or so officers behind me, protecting the dais. I got feedback from them and say, okay, we don't know you, but you just earned our respect. You took that for 2.5 hours, screamed at for 2.5 hours standing in front of us. So we're going to give you respect.
So, and as a follow-up to that particular incident, the body cam video of the, I think it was that one. I don't think it was a different one. I believe it was the same one that the deputy actually, anyway, there was one case involving a deputy, an officer shooting somebody, and wound up getting charged with murder. The deputy did, the officer did. And the prosecutor, the culture there in Grand Rapids was not to release the body cam footage, especially because it was not going to look good. you know, for the department. But, you know, sometimes the suspicion of something even worse is worse than the bad thing that actually is. And he basically said, you can't, you know, stop me. And they couldn't. And, you know, he released it. And he thought that was a huge, you know, benefit to the community, just to at least have the information. Because, you know, by the time you go through a 13 or 14 month investigation and then you release something, nobody cares anymore because they've already formed their opinions. You know, and so he to me looks like a great candidate. His background, his variety of experience running a department that's, you know, twice our size at least in Grand Rapids, his experience in Chicago and all the things in Chicago, handling protests and all that, working on child crimes. And anyway, he has an outstanding resume. He is a fantastic candidate. What about the other two candidates? I'll tell you in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident free right now. If you are on, let's see here, Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, you're going to see just some minor delays there. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So retired from being the police chief in Tampa, Brian Dugan, an agency has 1,000 officers, where he had led them through post George Floyd, COVID, a mass murderer. You know, a serial killer that they had to investigate and find and, you know, dealing with all of that and, you know, leading by example through the protest in Black Lives Matter and all of that. And, you know, he vowed that he wouldn't come in and make changes right away. Actually, both of them said the same thing. They want to get accustomed to the culture a little bit and kind of see, you know, they don't pretend to be the all-knowing outsiders who are going to come in and fix everything. That's the department doesn't need that. But they both said, you know, we're going to, you know, let's see. Let's come and look around a little bit. He was also asked about a challenging time that he had to deal with. Here was his answer.
Okay, so this was not the shining moment for the Tampa Police Department. And I didn't feel like it was necessarily a good reflection on me as a chief. But I feel like I handled it fairly and properly. We had a complaint that three of our officers were searching vehicles illegally and that they were racially profiling. And as you know, racially profiling is you can't get in someone's head. You can't see what they're thinking, hear what they're thinking. But it's also like when the Supreme Court talks about obscenity, I don't know a definition, but I know when I see it. And that's when you look at racial profiling, you know when you see it, so to speak.
And I mean, this is a very interesting story, by the way. And by the way, I do need to notice that if Brian Dugan winds up being our chief of police, my only issue is that he sounds like Quint Studer minus 30 years or 20 years. It sounds so much like Quint Studer talking, but that's okay. Anyway, back to the story, which is a very interesting story about this racially profiling. He had to root out three cops in his department that were engaged in racial profiling and nobody knew it.
And so I had three officers that were very high performers. And unfortunately, I found out why. What they were doing was they were doing lawful stops, but then they would take people out of the car, handcuff them, put them in the back seat of the police car. And if they found small amounts of marijuana or anything like that, they would just throw it away. They didn't put in evidence. They would let them go. They didn't write a report. There was no documentation that it ever happened.
And at first you might think, well, why is that weird? I mean, they're declining to arrest people. That would seem like a smart thing for small possession amounts. It's officer discretion. No, wait.
I found out later the reason they were so high performers, because they weren't taking the time to do the paperwork. What's the worst thing about police work? Paperwork. And so it's documenting what you did. And so while everybody was doing it the right way, being busy and taking the time from their regular patrol duties, writing and document what they did, these officers were looking for bigger fish to fry. But think about that. They took people out of their car, put them in handcuffs, and put them in the backseat of a police car, and then just cut them loose. Found if they had marijuana, well, that's not big enough. And you know what? Because they weren't writing reports, they probably were some of our highest performers. They were getting more guns, more awards than anybody.
They weren't wasting time writing reports on small incidents where they declined to prosecute, even though you're supposed to write a report on every time you arrest somebody or even detain them. And that saved them time so they could go out in the field and be more effective focusing on the big criminals. Well, but you're A, not allowed to do that, and B, the real issue.
And I'll never forget during one of the interviews with one of the officers, he said, you know, I was a good cop. And I go, were you? You didn't do it the right way. I don't know if that's a good cop. And so after the investigation, I had determined that, you know, there was one point where they pulled over two black women. And all of the people that were detained were black males. They pull over two black women. They look in the car, shine a flashlight. When they realized, in my opinion, that they were women, they let them go. Didn't do a driver's license check, ask for insurance, nothing. But everybody else, a black male got pulled over, he was put through the ringer. And like I said, detained, basically illegally, and put in the backseat of a police car and put in handcuffs. If somebody told me that a cop put me in the backseat of a police car, put handcuffs on me, searched my car, and they didn't write a report, I wouldn't have believed them. But fortunately, we were able to come to that.
Because, you know, black males are a high criminal population compared to black females, compared to white males, white females. And so they were deliberately focusing on what they thought were the more significant criminals, which I'm sure some citizens would be like, yeah, man, go for it. But unfortunately, the law says, no, 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 you cannot do that. So they were, you know, doing something that was, you know, unprofessional conduct, and also in the not writing reports, also unprofessional conduct. And so they had to be terminated. And he did that. And that, I'm sure, was a very hard thing to do in that department. So, like I say, I see two candidates here. He's been out of policing for 4 years. He's been doing consulting around the country, and including helping out with, like, Super Bowl sites, because Tampa did Super Bowls, you know, so he knows that stuff. And now he wants to come to Pensacola and, you know, get into policing again with kind of that 4 years gap, you know, perspective on the job. Also a very competent and capable candidate. I mean, somebody who clearly knows how to run a department. And to me, that's the main thing. There are other things, but that's the main thing that both of these candidates have that I think, if we're honest, you know, Eric Goss does not have yet. Eric Goss is our deputy chief, okay? He hasn't been in that position a long time, but he's never run the organization. And it's a smaller organization than either of these two guys have actually run. And I think you have to be honest about that experience difference. And also some of the variety of things that they've had to deal with that, I mean, just because he hasn't been a chief yet, Eric hasn't had to deal with. And that's not a knock on him. He just hasn't gone through that yet. He could wind up being great at it, but we don't know until you do it. And that's, to me, one of the analytical factors in which of these candidates you want to go with. But what does Eric have going for him? That the union wants him. The officers want him. The community wants him. He's known. We know him. He knows the area. He knows. I mean, you know, when Eric is doing his interview, I'll be honest, I didn't think he interviewed as well. I don't know if it's because he's not a chief and they were. A lot of the questions I thought they were asking him, he wasn't answering in the kind of depth and specificity that these other guys were. In part, maybe that's because it's talking about your own agency, and that's kind of an awkward thing to ask somebody about in the city where you're at, you know, still in that job. But I did think that he demonstrated clearly that he knows the department. I mean, talking about things like, we bought all the radios at the same time and now they're all going bad, or, you know, which is a problem because that's expensive, or the tasers all need to be replaced.
One of the other big things, our tasers are going. Well, what's more of a need and what's more of a want? Guys really want tasers. You know, it saves them. Had to explain to them what's more important. So if you're giving these guys the why, so we're explaining that, we're piecemealing our tasers. We're able to go back and buy all the old parts, the rest of them, to also get our tasers through so the guys are safe with that. But more importantly, we're going to free up money and maybe through the grant process, get radios for our guys. So it's about prioritizing what the budgets are.
Yeah, so finding money by a cheaper way to sort of refurbish the tasers that frees up money that you can buy the radios that you absolutely have to have, because you got to have cars, radios, and personnel, period. And so tasers are, in the grand scheme, are more of a luxury item compared with the absolute necessities. And he talks about, you know, the gym is a mess, and he's, you know, it's old. The equipment was there when he started. And he's found a fitness company here locally that can provide it at no cost to the city. And, you know, trying to get a shooting range specifically for PPD. And, you know, standing up to the administrator when they wanted to do a change in how you get how you get promoted. And he turns out to have been right about that, and saying that taught him how to listen to people who disagree with him and the importance of surrounding yourself with people who aren't just yes men. Good answers. All good answers. And they show the thing we know about Eric, which is that he knows the community and he knows the department. So who would I hire? I don't know. I went into this actually kind of hoping that Eric would show as the clear superior candidate because he's also local and that everything else would be equal. I came out of it thinking, you know what, in an objective comparison, if they were going to be the police chief of some other city, like not Pensacola, I think that Winstrom and Dugan or Dugan would clearly be in the lead, and Eric would not be by comparison. But he has something they don't have, which is local knowledge, relationships, connections, intimacy with the department, and the officers want him. Which one's more valuable? I don't know. I don't know how you make. I don't know how DC makes this decision. It's a hard decision to make. In an election year, you're going to maybe hire an outsider because you think that person's better, you know, set to lead us into the future. It's a hard decision to make. It's a whole lot easier to hire Eric. But is that the best decision for the department? And again, it's not a knock on Eric. He just, you know, if Kevin Crispin were healthy and could stay a cop, he'd be the chief. They wouldn't have even gone through the search. But that's just because he has the experience and would have had the experience as chief because Christian Bowne wouldn't be the chief. But he's health issues, and so he's not. So it's going to be difficult. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be upset, you know, if he doesn't hire Eric. And you got to think about, you're a politician. You have to think about that too. What's the right thing to do for the community? I don't know. It's going to be hard for DC to figure this out, in my opinion. 437-1620, 437-1620. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right, still rolling accident-free, but if you're on I-10 eastbound, right past the Pine Forest exit, you can see just some minor delays in that construction zone. But other than that, that is it. That's all I see. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to buy or sell a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are very effective at doing this. Last year, they sold 209 homes. That's 4 a week. Now, it had been down a little bit the last couple of years prior to that, 175, 165, but it's back up 30% in a year when a lot of realtors are struggling to sell homes because of the interest rates and the reluctance to sell and the prices, okay? But they're finding success selling homes that other people have been unable to sell. You know, people come to her after having a or two or three or four or in one case actually 7 prior realtors, which is insane to me, and she sells their homes, including a home that she says the agent came to her and said, yeah, $499, you'll never get more than that. She listed at $625, 10 days sold for cash. So, I mean, you know, that may not happen to everybody, and certainly that's an outlier. But the point is, knowing the market, having experience, solving you all the way through to closing, that's what they do. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Discouraged, defeated, disappointed, you're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
One thing I didn't even mention, of course, is, you know, we have had an experience with hiring an out-of-the-area chief versus the natural deputy chief before, and that didn't work out so great long run. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that are going to go into this this decision. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The White House saying that they have not ruled out using the Insurrection Act in Minnesota to quell those anti-ICE protests. That would give the president the authority to federalize National Guard to suppress a rebellion on U.S. soil. Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt said only the president, though, could say what would be his tipping point to make that declaration. And all four members of NASA's SpaceX Crew 11 mission are now getting reacclimated to Earth as part of the standard protocol. They are expected to be flown to the Johnson Space Center in Houston today for an evaluation, which could take several days or even weeks.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Are we going to get snow? I know we're going to have a forecast coming up from Brooke Richardson, but I'll tell you what Alan Strum said last night. Probably not. 10% chance just for being generous sake.
Ooh. Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The protests continue in Minneapolis. This from the federal building. Fox's Matt Finn in the Twin City.
Some people were seen scaling the fence, spitting at officers, and video appears to show a person launching a firework at agents. We are seeing a lot of that here on the ground. The agents then rush in that person's direction.
Military sources telling Fox U.S. is sending military assets to the Middle East as the president continues considering strikes in Iran. Charlie Kirk is alleged assassin in court this afternoon.
Lawyers for Tyler Robinson argue because a prosecutor's adult child was at the Turning Point USA event when Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, they can't stay impartial, therefore they should be removed.
That's Fox's Jeff Paul in Provo, Utah this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 33 degrees. It is sunny this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our full forecast in just a few minutes. The city of Pensacola moving towards potentially regulating high-speed electric bikes. This comes after an incident involving a young person at the Cordova Park area. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city's looking at regulating Class 3 e-bikes. Those are the ones that can reach more than 28 miles per hour. He says it's just a matter of common sense.
You cannot have 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds that know no rules on the road be on the road on something that's 30 miles an hour. I mean, I think that's pretty basic common sense.
And the city attorney's office is looking into what regulations would be enforceable. The police department would have to sign off before anything would go to city council. Escambia Sheriff's Office looking for a man accused of impersonating a deputy and conducting a fake traffic stop. A woman in Century says the man pulled her over January 5th on North Century Boulevard, had lights on his dash, and even showed her a badge. He had her get out of the vehicle and searched her truck for 15 minutes. Sheriff Chip Simmons said if you're unsure about a traffic stop, call 911 and drive to a well-lit public place. Now, changes are coming to the state's voucher system. More from Chris Bryan.
Florida Senate voted on Wednesday to overhaul Florida's school voucher system, which diverts billions of public education dollars every year to students' private schooling and homeschooling. Senators pushed Senate Bill 318, as it has become a priority for the Senate, but its fate in the House is still up in the air. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. President Donald Trump rolled out the red carpet for the Florida Panthers at the White House, celebrating the team's second straight Stanley Cup title. The president highlighted the Panthers' win over Edmonton last season, joked about how long it's been since a Canadian team lifted the cup.
You led the finals for over 255 minutes, the most of any team in NHL history, and you denied Canada the Stanley Cup for the 32nd straight year.
And the Panthers wrapped up the series in six games last June, cementing their place as one of the NHL's top teams here in recent years. New bill is designed to address Florida's nursing shortage. House lawmakers in Tallahassee approving a bill yesterday that would give the Board of Nursing more oversight on nursing schools. In recent years, Florida nursing students have passed the Nurse Council licensure exam at a rate below the national average. Republican State Representative Toby Overdorf sponsored that bill. He says the goal is to create accountability for underperforming programs so they can become some of the best in the state and the best in the nation. And if you're packing your bags and thinking of heading to South Florida to get back into the warmth, fair warning, the Welcome Committee may be falling out of trees. This cold snap hitting the entire state that could cause iguanas to freeze and literally drop from branches. Social media personality Andrew Morales, known as Cuban Tarzan, says it might look harmless, but looks can be deceiving.
They can really slow down their heartbeat to almost none and withstand these cold temperatures. Once it gets past 40 degrees and it gets really, really cold, usually the small ones don't survive.
But once things warm up, they can snap right back to life and be quite aggressive. It's 7:35 at News Radio. Right now we've got 35 degrees with sunshine. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free right now. Good news on that. Let's see here. Taking a look at I-10. Seeing some minor delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Got those construction delays going on. It looks like Highway 90, Avalon 98. Everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 35 sunny. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 64 degrees after a very chilly morning. Going overnight tonight, temperatures are going to drop near 50 degrees. Heading into Saturday, partly sunny skies, high near 58. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 34. We are going to be looking at a small chance of some precipitation on Sunday morning, watching closely for a chance of a few snow flurries. That chance does remain low with temperatures warming up in the afternoon near 46. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one and two bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state of the art fitness center, Energy Star rated appliances, granite countertops, and for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview, location, community, quality living, all starts at Princeton Grove.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there.
Item number 26-78, discussion on 101 West Main Street redevelopment options.
Back to the... information we got from the consultants. They gave us kind of this color chart on what they would recommend for best intended use. You can kind of see the different colors, and this is based on all the data of what's going on here in town, what developers would be interested in, and their recommendation is for sale condos at that location, specifically the condos over even like big apartment multifamily. Rent versus sell.
This is Anna-Kate Bagans, I think is how you say her name, with the city. She's the economic development coordinator, talking about the old Pensacola Sports Association, the PSA building on 101 East Main, and what to do with that. And the recommendation from the study they put out was maybe best use is condos.
Currently, in the last solicitation, we had it as a long-term lease. It has been recommended that we look to sell this property, because it's more desirable to a developer to sell to build on it than a long-term lease.
And not to lease it from the city and build on it, but to just, you know, own it outright. Mayor Reeves being very clear that he doesn't have any particular notion. I mean, that's what the study showed, but that is not the same as what should be done on the site. There's a lot of things that a politician has to consider that are different from what, you know, a highest and best use kind of study might recommend.
Just want to be perfectly clear as you guys begin to discuss this from an administration standpoint, we come forward with no preference whatsoever. This is ultimately the decision of what this board sees as the highest and best use, right? Highest and best use might be different with Board Member Bear as it is with Board Member Patton. So we do not come in with any preconceived other than the information that's in front of you.
So here we are sharing with you, trying to get some discussion from you. Charles Bear.
My issue with this, I think, is really that I read the report too, and I didn't. I'm sure there are some issues in there, but
because Jennifer Brer had brought up that there were some sort of, it seemed like, fact errors in the report. I'm not sure whether they were or not, but she thought there were, and you know, that's what he's talking about.
We pretty much found out is really that we are throwing a fishing line with a hook and no bait on it, pretty much, when we first went around. That's pretty much, they confirmed what I thought from the beginning, was that just asking for an RFP or for letters of interest without having any idea of what we wanted to go there wasn't going to generate much. And so they confirmed that we paid $24,000, hold on, to do that. And so that's what concerns me.
If there's ever going to be dissent on the board, Charles Bear has inherited the mantle of Sherry Myers. He's not the same, not at all. But remember, you know, District 2 has long been the stubborn spot in the council, or the oppositional spot in the council. I think Jen Brer has also, you know, they often jointly disagree with whatever the majority and the mayor want to do. And in this case, Charles was the most vocal version of that.
I know when we first put it out there, that there was talk of, you know, if you on the map, well, maybe that parking garage is in play, maybe the other building's in play, who knows? So it was very vague on, and it was just, it was a complete fishing trip to me, and not a good one.
So say what you think.
It's unfortunate to me that we spent $24,000 to tell us something we probably already knew. And if there are actual errors, I don't know if there are or not in there, that's unfortunate as well. Maybe somebody should have looked more carefully at the documents to make sure that the information was actually accurate.
So now staff sucks, right? That's kind of the takeaway.
To further your point, Councilman Bayer, we didn't get the response we wanted the first time. So the whole point was to not do the same thing. It is to get it in front of different eyes. It's four different feedback. The parking garage next door in the building there, that's a part of that study. We asked them to look at both of them as well to see if it was interest there. I think we want the same thing is what I'm hearing you're saying. We want something different. We want to move it forward that way.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know who the we is. We didn't get what we wanted. I feel like that this board ought to be part of the we, and I felt like it wasn't. I felt like whatever came back, there was some other authority that was designed, maybe it was staff, but I don't think we knew what we wanted there. Now we're getting to the point where maybe we need to figure that out before we go out there and fish again. So I'm glad where we are where we are. I just think we could have saved 2 years and $24,000 on this.
Well, we are here today to ask for your feedback on what you're
doing. Let me add to that, that is quite literally what we're doing. Like, as we sit here today, it's quite literally, let us go get some expert information. And with all due respect, your opinion solely or my opinion solely, I would not consider expert development opinions.
Oh, I know that.
You remember with the Baptist demolition, and not the demolition so much, but at the hiring of the what is the name of the group? The Bayou District Group. That the anger was, we don't even know what the public wants, and so why are you hiring them when they were being hired to figure out what the public wants? It was like being angry at the mayor for bringing forward the thing that would do what the people were upset wasn't being done. So Charles is upset at the mayor and the mayor's staff for, my read, not coming and asking them what they want to do when literally what they're doing is coming and asking them what they want to do.
Monday morning quarterback, at any point in this time period you're talking about, you could have shared any thoughts that you would like. No one stopped you from doing that. But no one was going to be able to go on just your opinion of a development, nor, hence the reason us being here today, is we'd be able to go on just my opinion. The whole idea is to listen to being chastised over why aren't we part of the discussion, why we quite literally are looking at a slide saying, what would you guys like to do? I mean, that is quite literally in this moment what we're doing. So I know you're wanting to grandstand on other issues on selling CRA property. All we're trying to do is to gauge the board on what you guys would like to do and what direction you would like to move forward.
You know, I feel like maybe it's time to bring back. I mean, Milton has gotten boring.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Also, I just have to defend my board member at the end. Is I don't think that he was staging anything or setting up anything. I think it was inappropriate to come at him like that. I think it's okay for us to be frustrated that we don't know what's going on until it's here in front of us.
I don't know if Pensacola's earned it quite back just yet, but I don't know. I watched a little teeny tiny slice of last night's meeting, basically the coverage Channel 3 had at 10 o'clock, and I'll watch the whole meeting, of course, eventually, but I don't know, man. Maybe Milton has bequeathed Days of Our Whatever to Pensacola again, and the once and future champion. Let's see, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
And maybe returning. Okay, let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound, just right around the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. Seeing some minor delays, but other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you've got a company with employees, you have to handle, payroll and HR and manage benefits, dental, vision, life, disability, health. These are things that, typically, if you own a company, that's not why you got into business. You got into business to do whatever you do, to be a lawyer or to fix cars or to, put in HVAC systems or whatever it is you do. Probably not to manage benefits. Well, guess what? There are some people out there who do like to manage benefits. They're helpful with that. They're good at it. Torgerson Consulting, for 5 years, we've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country. They're fantastic. I can tell you from personal experience that they're great. Now, I always like to be honest with you that when it comes to health insurance, they're not miracle workers. The market is what it is. But I know that they have gone and found the best available options in the screwed up market. I have no doubt that there's nothing better out there. And that, I appreciate that. Plus, they're great with customer service. When we have questions, we ask them. No big deal. They've been doing this for more than 20 years, and it's no obligation to have them look over what you're doing. So find out if maybe there's a better, cheaper, more effective, satisfying, whatever, or just take it off your plate answer to all of these issues for you. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A lot of theaters don't even show black and white movies anymore. They don't have the right projectors. All the projectors are in color.
It's true.
Do you know that? You know that movie, John?
No.
We just recently rewatched The Big Picture, which is a satire of Hollywood that looks, guy's got an idea for a script. He goes and takes it to Hollywood, and it completely changes and distorts, and he sells out, and, Kevin Bacon is the main star, and that, they have color projectors. You can't even show black and white. And the whole world's like, yeah, that's right.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's such a great line. 749. And no, in case you're wondering, there's no such thing. That's the point, is they buy this total nonsense. And, anyway. 749 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see, David. Oh, I got somebody text me from Milton. Yay, Milton's boring again. Which, if I'm being honest, I always said what? I would like them to be boring because that means government is good. But, for radio value.
Right.
No. Be as dysfunctional as you like. Exactly. I'll make you a star. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump has accepted the Nobel Peace Prize from Venezuela's opposition leader.
What about the money?
Maria Corina Machado. I don't know that she gave him the money.
Well, what does he care? He's a billionaire. It's only $1 million.
She was awarded the prize last year for promoting democratic rights in Venezuela, and she gave that award to President Trump in appreciation for ousting Nicolas Maduro. A Utah judge will hear arguments today on whether prosecutors in the Charlie Kirk assassination case should be disqualified because of a conflict of interest. Lawyers for the man accused of shooting Kirk at a rally in September say a key prosecutor has a family member who was present at the killing, which raises concerns over impartiality. And Grateful Dead co-founder Bob Weir will be remembered this weekend in a public memorial service in San Francisco. The Grateful Dead was founded in the Bay Area during the 60s. Homecoming celebrating the life of Bobby Weir is set for tomorrow.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 750 on News Radio 92.3. If you ever want to text me for any reason, 437-1620. The United States Coast Guard had a bumper year last year in drug seizures. You ready for this? This number is amazing. $4 billion in drug seizures last year. That is way up from a normal year for. We've been very, 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 very active. Also, avoidance of cost and the health consequences and policing because of that. $10 billion is the estimate. Just $2.5 billion in avoidance for healthcare costs just from cocaine interdictions. The weight of seizures last year was 511,000 pounds. The weight in the prior year was 167,000 pounds. So we have tripled our level of interdiction in 1 year. Okay, that's both good and bad, right? That's great because we're stopping a lot. That's bad because, oh my God, the level of the demand is absolutely enormous. Meanwhile, in Greenland, European allies are sending military reinforcements to Greenland to protect them from the evil aggressor state of, who is that again? The United States. No joke, folks. our president has messed around enough that Danish Defense Minister Troels Lund Poulsen has warned during a press conference that security tensions have spread to the Arctic. Sweden and a number of other NATO member states have announced plans to send troops, military aircraft, and ships to Greenland to back up the dog sleds. After a Wednesday discussion, the White House failed to change Trump administration official desires to acquire the Danish territory. Poulsen says, therefore, in close dialogue with the Greenlandic government, that's not an adjective I use a lot, we have agreed to increase our military presence and exercise activity in the Arctic and North Atlantic in cooperation with NATO allies. Swedish Prime Minister, oh, God bless me, Ulf Kristersson, say it like you've got a lisp, and it's probably right. Several officers from the Swedish Armed Forces are arriving in Greenland today. This was actually 2 days ago. They are part of a group from several allied countries. Together, they will prepare for upcoming elements within the framework of the Danish exercise Operation Arctic Endurance. It is at Denmark's request that Sweden is sending personnel from the armed forces. So now you have NATO reinforcing NATO against NATO. Okay, so this is not good, right? I mean, we have an actual war going on in Europe, just FYI. Mattel has come out with autistic Barbie so that everybody can be seen. You know, that's their idea, is provide a bunch of different Barbies with all different kinds of representation and, you know, validation and inclusion. And she's got a fidget spinner. She's got a little, touch on the pad so that you can, you know, communicate more effectively. Her hands, her wrists articulate so that she can do stimming if you want to, you know, kind of the unusual hand motions and flexible elbow, same thing. And she's got a relatively like a low friction dress that doesn't aggravate her skin and, you know, over sometimes she's got the headphones, you know, for noise canceling. And then, there was one, oh, her eyes, she doesn't look directly at you. She looks a little bit to the side cause you know, autistic kids often.
Are you joking with me or no, is this 100% for real?
Serious. This is 100% serious. I'm looking at a picture of it, right?
Okay.
This is not Transgressors. I mean, Transgressors always uses real stories anyway.
Right.
But this is a real, I mean, they have a whole line of dolls designed to allow for inclusion for all different kinds of girls. So, yeah, this is a real thing. 437-1620. Oh, man. I have not wanted to talk about this, but I guess I ought to mention it. Just as an FYI, in case you missed the news elsewhere, one of the foremost religious authors in Christianity has come out and confessed that he had an affair. Philip Yancey cheated on his wife for 8 years. 76 years old. They've been married for 50 plus years. Their marriage is not ending. She's sticking with him. He's apparently very, very ill, perhaps terminally so. And yeah, 55 and a half years. And he cheated on her for 8 years. And he's, again, he's one of the most popular, prolific authors in Christianity. I think the questions most people ask are, you know, for, number one, how could you? And he's even said, I can't defend. This just isn't reconcilable with my beliefs about, you know, marriage or faith. There's no covering it. There's no endorsing it. There's no justifying. My conduct defied everything that I believe about marriage. It was also totally inconsistent with my faith and my writings and caused deep pain for her husband. And caused deep pain for both of our families. So, yeah, he's got Parkinson's, by the way. Two notes. Number one, does this adultery mean that all of his writings weren't valuable? No, sometimes flawed men make good art, and, you know, even sinners can teach the truth. You know, your pastor's a sinner, maybe not quite this bad, you know, but your pastor's a sinner because we all are. It doesn't mean his sermons aren't good. I mean, so, you know, separate the sinner from the product. But also, what it does is, you know, it totally casts doubt on everybody and makes you think it's impossible to live up to and makes you wonder what everybody else is doing. I mean, it's terrible. There's no way around it. It's a horrible thing. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Now somebody says, how many NATO troops are going to Greenland? I don't know, six? I mean, it doesn't say. It's probably not a lot. It's probably more, you know, for symbolic, you know, solidarity, I would guess. But, you know, the report I've read does not disclose, so I can't purport to you that I know what it is. I have two, like, amazing stories. Which one do you want first? You want the one in the USA or you want the one from not in the USA?
USA.
Okay. There is an app that is wildly popular in China. It is the most popular app in China right now. No, it's not TikTok. You know, China bans all the social media apps, like almost all of them, except for the ones that they allow. Because they know that the apps, especially TikTok, are weapons of cultural destruction. They know that, and that's why they don't let their citizens use them. Also, because freedom of information, you know, they're kind of not big on the First Amendment concept. But anyway, that's sort of a side issue. The issue I was going to tell you about is that the app, this is kind of amazing. The app name is Are You Dead Yet? That's right. The app smash hit is for single people living away from their families in the city. Every day it gives you a button to press that tells you, you tell the app, I'm not dead yet, like Monty Python. Bring out your dead. I'm not dead yet. Now, some people also said for elderly users, if you do not check in twice in a row, 2 days in a row, they contact your relatives. It's massively popular in China. And I guess coming here to America, there's also another Chinese app called Are You Hungry? I don't know. Anyway, but are you okay? Are you dead yet? It's kind of morbid, but there you go.
Okay.
No accounting. No accounting for taste, I suppose, in China. But that just makes me crack up. I don't know. It's amazing. So.
Bring out your dead.
Here's one.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not
dead. All right, and then the last one, just because why not end on a strong note. This is, somebody sent this to me. I almost want to believe it's not true, but I read that it is apparently true. There's a guy who is so anti-Trump that he has now trained crows to attack Trump supporters by stealing their MAGA hats.
Wow.
So the crow, he's trained the crow overall a bunch of, it started as like a COVID project or something, I think, is what they're saying. Anyway, he's training
bored.
Crows. And now he's turned it into a thing where they'll go steal the hat, the red MAGA hat, which, you know, obviously as a Cardinals fan, yay, whoa, hey.
Whoa,
you know,
wait a second.
But it doesn't, if he'd have distinguished them, but it doesn't make it okay. That's battery. That's theft. That's, if you grabbed a hat off of somebody's head, that's a crime. So this is a crime. Right? This is a kind of low-key terrorism. Right? Isn't it? So, I know some people are like, yeah, get them. That's creative. No, that's illegal. And also, by the way, wearing a hat that expresses your ideas is what? First Amendment. So this is literally suppression of speech. This is a First Amendment violation. Now, I don't think they're likely to pull a lot of money out of him in a constitutional case, but it's not just battery and theft. It's the suppression of speech. Don't cheer this if you're on the other side. You should be horrified by this.